happy Mother's Day to all of you. Yeah. It's not just mums, is it? It's the ladies who inspire us. Every lady that inspires me in this church is amazing. From young ones. Why am I doing that? Young ones to old ones. Is that because you shrink when you get older? I'm going down and down and down. Anyway, from the young ones to the old ones, you inspire me every week. So you're amazing. Thank you. And there'll be a little thank you later, but we'll say more of that later on. So good morning. Anyway, let's pray. Let's invite God in the house. God was here before us. We invite your Holy Spirit. We're expectant of what's to come. We thank you for this week, and we thank you for answers to prayers. We thank you in advance of all the amazing things you're going to do in our lives. And through our lives, hopefully, that will pour out onto other people's lives. So fill us afresh this morning with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Be our eyes and our ears this morning, Lord, as we sing these songs and we hear your word and we worship together. Let us be full of your Holy Spirit in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You never cease to amaze us. And you can do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that's because of your grace poured on us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope as you trust in him. In the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, we say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Right, it is a special day. So I'm going to ask the lovely Alex.
Thank you, Jill, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Is it morning? It's still morning, just about. Good morning, everyone. I've been told to introduce myself. I am Alex Joyce. I am one of the members of Junior Church, and I'm going to just talk a little bit about Mother's Day and what it means to us and what it means to us as Junior Church and us as children. This morning, we would like to say a thank you to all of the women in our congregation. It's a day when we celebrate mothers, but we want to show our love and support to all of the women who care for us and support us as children in many ways. Through Junior Church, through leading and taking part in worship, through the teas and the coffees, and of course, all the biscuits at the end of the church, through prayer, through all of the other many ways that they showed their support for us as children. Today, we think particularly of those who are going to find this day difficult. We think of those who have lost a mother, those who have not been able to have children, and those whose childhoods were difficult. We also think of those who have had a child and are now facing today without them. As a small token of all of our thanks for your love and support, we are going to give a little gift to all of the women in the congregation. If there is someone who you know is not here today, do please take one for them. Thank you. And just one last happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Please, can I just welcome Carol to give us the notices?
Thank you, Alex. That was so good, so lovely, and it really is lovely to be appreciated. So thank you for your kind words and for just about not missing anybody out. You know, you covered it all, and it was really good, so thank you. It is lovely that we celebrate mothers and ladies in general, isn't it, on this special day. And those little sweeter things are love arts. You don't get better than that, dear. So thank you for those who have sorted that out. So welcome to everyone, especially to those that are on YouTube as well. I better not forget them, as Jan nearly did. But you know you're always welcome anyway. But it is nice to be welcomed properly, isn't it? It's good to be together today. only say that to your mates, can't you? You? I wouldn't be able to say that if she weren't my mate. Anyway, down to the notices now. So this afternoon we have prospects meeting in our school room at 3 o'clock. Please. Oh. If you want to know any more about it, just please see either Tim or Philip or Malcolm and Marbeth, or George, Polly, and they usually attend. If you want to know more about it, please do ask them. They sound as if they have a really good time. And they always have a cup of tea and a biscuit, I think, so that might be an incentive to come. So, for tomorrow, the 20th, Monday, prayer and reflection via Zoom at 9:30. Mums and Tots be meeting again, as usual, on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. The lunch club is up and running now, and the numbers are very slowly rising, but we've got plenty of room for anyone else, so please do come if you'd like to just share a bit of time together, a light lunch, sandwiches, cakes, sandwiches, soup, just a nice time together. So please do come if you're able. That is on Thursday. We start to meet about 11:30, but we usually eat about 12, so... everybody's welcome. Sunday the 26th, which is next Sunday, I seem to have been announcing this forever, but we do have our AGM after the morning service, so just time to get a cup of tea and then join together for our annual general meeting. I think we should all have received the documents through now that David sent by email a couple of days ago, so everything's in order at the moment. We'll have to wait and see what happens on Sunday. Anyway, Sunday the 2nd of April, we do have our messy church as part of the Sunday morning service. Of course, it's very different to what we normally do on a Sunday, but it's still a really good time together. So please do invite family and friends just for a very nice, informal time together while, of course, hearing the gospel. So that's on Sunday the 2nd of April. Tuesday the 4th of April, we have our mini messy church that Jan's going to be holding monthly in the afternoons from Opus 3 till 5 o'clock. Again, it's for all ages, but obviously focusing mainly on the children, I think. But if you know anyone that you think might like to come, and it is the school holidays as well, isn't it? The start of the school holidays. So if you've got an hour and a half to spare, just pop down. Jan really could do with numbers, though. Do they have to book? Yeah, Eventbrite, if you're able to use that, but I'm sure she won't turn you away if you just arrive on the doorstep, will you? We have a few dates now for the Easter celebrations. We know about Maundy, Thursday, the 6th of April, a service of reflection, a meal and communion from 6 until 8. There's no charge, but we could do with numbers for catering purposes, please. So if you've not signed up and you'd like to come, there's a sheet at the back. Good Friday, we're having a service of reflection down here at church, just for half an hour, very quiet, no hymns, no singing or anything, but just a quiet time of reflection for half an hour. And then the walk of witness will start at 11 o'clock from here up to the cross in Swallownest and back for refreshments at our church. So please do invite people to come. It's open to everyone. But it is a lovely time just to make people aware of what actually did happen on Good Friday. Then Easter Sunday, we have the open-air service down at Ulley Country Park at 8 o'clock, followed by breakfast at church at 9 and our celebration service at 10:30. And then just to finish everything off, the final act of worship back at the cross at Swallownest, so that people know that what happened on Good Friday wasn't the end. We need to make sure that the resurrection is like the most important part, really, don't we? So that will be at 12 o'clock back at the cross in Swallownest. All this information will be on the website, the Facebook page, and the newsletter, which will be out very shortly. And of course, if anyone needs anything, as I always say, please do get in touch. So that's all from me. If Junior Church would like to go next door and do your own thing, whatever it is you're doing today. No, I'd like to invite Sue up to do some scripture reading, please. The reading this morning is taken from Jeremiah 31, and it's reading from verse 31, which is interesting. It's on 660 if you want to follow it later and go through it. The New Covenant. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbour and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. Good morning, everybody. It's very nice to see you all. It's very nice not to see people, but good morning anyway. If I can't see you, but you can see me through the wonders of YouTube. So we're hurtling through our sermon series, aren't we, on confidence. And last week I spoke about the theme of daily prayer. We were thinking about consistent spiritual practices. And I encouraged everybody last week, if you remember, to strengthen our own personal daily prayer lives. If that's a bit of a reminder for you. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. But maybe some of you actually did have had a bit of a breakthrough this week. How's that gone? Has anything changed? I know that for someone here, it has, because as I got home from the trustees meeting on Thursday, there was a message from someone in our fellowship who said, oh, such and such a person has rung me because they were touched. I was on their heart, and they said that Rob said that midweek someone will be on your heart and to ring up and pray for them. So I thought that was just amazing, you know. So it's a bit of an encouragement, really. It's an ongoing encouragement. It's not something that's going to be enhanced instantly, but it's something that we can all think about, I think. And today I'm going to be continuing with the theme of our daily walk with God. We thought about prayer last week. This morning I'm going to be looking at reading God's word every day. I believe that an intentional and authentic daily prayer life and daily Bible habit will help us get to know God better. And it'll help us grow in our relationship with Jesus. And it will be therefore help us be more confident disciples. When we're prioritising our relationship with God, when we're learning to lean in on him, and our confidence to be messengers of the gospel with our friends and our families will grow when our hearts and our minds are prepared. That's the idea there behind our competence. So how can we be confident disciples? Because we are disciples, we're called to be disciples, not in a kind of crazy, super spiritual way. Yeah, we're not in a super Christian way. That's not what it means. In the way that we are followers of Jesus and spreaders of the good news, we are meant to be disciples. How can we be confident disciples, even when it's against the surrounding culture of what faces us when we walk out of this building? When we're faced with the reality of our own daily lives, how can we be confident in talking about God? Well, since forever, pretty much, believers have strengthened themselves by reading the Word and through daily spiritual activity. What I was talking to you about last week and what I'm going to be talking to you about today really isn't revolutionary. I know that. You know, there are plenty of people in this building and online who have been doing this sort of stuff for ages. It's not revolutionary. Daily prayer and daily Bible reading are things that Christians throughout history have benefited from. And so can we, yeah, when we effectively incorporate them into our lives. In fact, it was quite interesting, a recent survey revealed that Christians who regularly and intentionally read the Bible and pray are more positive about themselves as Christians. They tend to use words like growing and learning and joyful when they talk about their faith. People who regularly pray and read the Bible have a clearer sense of God's purpose in their lives. They're more likely to regularly show grace and love to others, overflow with love and life, standing up for truth and justice, sharing their faith with other people. So you can see that it is a strength and it's a source of confidence. But even among Christians, the habit of daily prayer and Bible reading is in decline. It has been for years. So even if you have heard of all these things before, it's likely that you're struggling to put them into practice consistently. When we learn to drive, we're told to remember routines, aren't we? Mirror signal maneuver is one that I have in my head. And we do those things over and over and over again, and then we become confident in them because they become second nature. In the same way, these spiritual practices, done consistently, build up our confidence in God and can prepare us for whatever we might face in our daily lives and in sharing the news, sharing just who we are and what we believe. But, like I said last week, it's not enough to have like an obligation to pick up the Bible. It's not enough to feel as if we're doing it because we should do it. Because that is just legalism. That's just sort of doing it because we're told to. That's the wrong motivation. So a bit similar to last week, really, I'm going to have a little bit of a look at some deep motivations that I think we have to read God's word regularly. And then I'm going to have a look at some practical applications about how we might put that into practice. Okay, so all that with the aim that through God's grace, he will build us up in our gospel confidence so that we are ready to speak out and tell anyone who asks us why we are living the way we are, you know, what we believe. And Sue wonderfully gave us an extract from Jeremiah 31 this morning. And that's where I'm going to be sort of starting to dig in. Overall, the Bible is a story of friendship. Friendship between God and his people. At the heart of the matter, in the Old Testament, God said to his people, "I will be your God and you will be my people. Together we will show everyone how good it is to have me as your God." That's the sort of overarching kind of purpose. And then, of course, God's people fail to live with God as their God, and they keep on messing up, and they go off and they do their own things. And they made other things to replace God in their lives. They broke the agreement. Something new was needed. And something profound and life-changing was needed if this was going to change. And the demonstration of how good it was to have God as your God was going to be made to the whole world. And that's where we pick up our story in the Bible reading that Sue gave us. God sends his prophet Jeremiah as a spokesman, if you like. And Jeremiah reveals that God will make everything new. He will bring about a way that this agreement can work properly. "Behold," declares the Lord through Jeremiah's mouth, "but behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband," declares the Lord. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days," declares the Lord. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, we know that this promise was finally fulfilled through Jesus. We remember it, we will remember it in a few minutes through communion. Eat this in remembrance that I died for you. Drink this cup. This is the new covenant, the new agreement in my blood. Okay? So Jesus' blood pays the price for the punishments that were going to fall on failing people. Through Jesus' blood, sins are forgiven. And God's Spirit comes into people's lives. Through him, his laws are written not in books, but in hearts. The promise here from God is that there is a time coming when our hearts will begin to change. When God will come and our hearts will desire to live for him rather than for us and our own desires. God offers you friendship. And this is, I think, the first reason that I should read the Bible. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbour and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. They shall all know me, says God. And God doesn't say that we will know of him, does he? He doesn't say they will know about me in the same way that I might know King Charles III. I know stuff about him. I can find out loads of things about King Charles III. Pretty much every single year of his life has got a lot of documentation about him. You know, he's a very documented chap. I could even go to some town centre somewhere and wave at him from a crowd or even shake his hand, but that certainly doesn't mean that I know him, does it? And it really doesn't mean that he knows me. God promises that we will get to know him in a way that is intimate and personal, not in a way that is, in effect, just sort of waving at him from the back of a crowd. And this should strike us as absolutely radical. You know, this is coming in the times of the Old Testament, this message. The Old Testament, the old agreement, meant that no one could ever really get particularly close to God. There was only one day a year that just one person could enter the Holy of Holies in the temple. And that poor dude had to have a rope tied around his waist in case he snuffed it in there. They'd pull him out because they wouldn't go in and get him. It's too dangerous. And now what's happening is that God is offering us a personal, intimate relationship, a friendship. They will all know me, declares the Lord. The message that Jeremiah is passing on is groundbreaking. And it should amaze us and it should excite us. And the next time we think, oh, don't really want to read the Bible, that should come to our minds. That should fire us up with excitement. God offers me a personal friendship. And God offers us friendship even though he knows exactly what we are like. Oh, it's Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day, every female. Whether you're a mother, whether you want to be a mother, whether this is a difficult time or a joyful day. And children are a wonderful blessing, and I hope that we have all been wonderful blessings to our parents in our time. No need to answer, Mother. My boys tell me that they love me. They do. They tell me and Jenny that they love us. They do it quite regularly. They're quite lovely and caring boys. And my boys tell me that they love me, and they do love me despite knowing me. Because my boys know me so much more than most of you do. They see me at my worst. They hear me at my most unfair and unjust. They hear me talking to them in probably the most unfriendly way that it is possible to talk to anybody. And yet they love me. And does it not stagger you that God knows you better than your friends, than your family even? And yet today he offers you friendship. A deep and personal, authentic friendship. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Even though he should have given up on me and the whole of mankind centuries ago, that's what he's offering us. And the next thing I want to point out from this particular verse, verse 34, is that he offers friendship for everyone. It says from the least of them to the greatest, doesn't it? And everyone in between is the implication. Friendship to all. It's a bit like the Backstreet Boys song. No matter who you are, steady on, Olivia Regan. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you feel about yourself. God offers personal friendship to all. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbour and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. God says that we don't need anyone else to know him. We don't need special priests. We don't need a church elder. We can all know him personally. In Jesus, the time came when there was no longer a need to have a priest represent us to God and God to us. No longer a need to have a prophet like Jeremiah to hear from God. A time came in Jesus when there is no longer any need for any sort of go-between. We've got direct one-on-one access to God through prayer. Direct one-on-one personal friendship for anyone, it says. But we can't be friends with God unless our sins are forgiven. And that's the promise that it says there at the end of verse 34. God promises to forgive our sin and not even remember them, not hark on about them ages after, not drag it back up when he's cross with us, not even remember them. There was that cartoon, wasn't there? It went round years and years ago, that God takes your sin, he chucks it in the deepest part of the ocean and he puts the sign up that says no fishing. I said last week that prayer was essentially us talking to God. But reading the Bible is essentially God talking to us. Reading the Bible is hearing from God. And that should be our motivation to do it regularly. You see, this book here is the living word of the living God. Getting to know the God who shares in your sadness, who knows your joys, who makes the wonderful times better and the terrible times bearable. And God's word still speaks to us today. It's still relevant to us today, and that's why it's essential to read it. We can't have a relationship with someone if there's either no communication at all or it's all one way. We have, in a human relationship, we have to talk and listen, don't we? And that's the same with God. We have to pray and talk, but we have to read the Bible and listen to his words to us. This is one of my favourite verses. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is breathed out by God. Breathed out by God. So when we read the Bible, we shouldn't do it to read. We should do it to listen. Open it, read it, and start listening to it. Listen with respect and a willingness to obey. Because if we really believe that God's word is speaking to us, this is personal to us. Okay, so I've talked about a few motivations. But practically, what does that mean? Well, I guess the first implication is that we need to pay attention to it. Okay, if we believe that God is alive, and if we believe that the Bible is God's word breathed out to us, and if we believe that we are God's children called into a relationship with him, and if we believe that the Bible is talking to us, then we need to pay attention to it, don't we? Yeah? I mean, putting it bluntly, if Joe Biden, the President of the United States, walked in through those doors now, came up to the front and started talking to us, Would we glaze over and let our minds wander off? Would we doze off? I very much doubt we would. That would be an event that focused our minds. It would be, well, the President of the United States has just turned up in Swallowness and he's talking to us. Okay. I'm going to listen to this. If the Bible is God's authority and it is speaking directly to us, it should hold our attention, shouldn't it? The Bible also tells us what we need to know. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 talks about the Bible making us wise for salvation, and then it continues, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. That's positive. It's telling us what to think and what to believe. It's profitable for reproof. That's negative, telling us what not to think and what not to believe. For correction, again, negative, reforming our lifestyles, and for training in righteousness. That's positive. It's living the right way so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Bible has everything that God wants us to be. It tells us how to be saved and how to live for God. So what else would you want to know? What else is there to know? How to be saved, how to live in a way that is pleasing to God. So it remains relevant. And if we've taken up God's offer to know him, then this is your book. So pay attention to it. Don't neglect it. Don't rob it from yourselves. We live in an age where God's world is more freely available than ever in this country. A few hundred years ago, we would have needed a priest to read it in Latin and then translate it for us. We don't need that anymore. We don't even need to have a physical book. Most of us can carry it around in our pockets on our phones. We don't need to be a Bible expert to understand it. We don't need to be a scholar. So don't rob it from yourselves thinking, oh, well, I'll never understand it. It's too complicated. That's your daddy's book, and he wrote it for you. So don't rob it from yourself by leaving it on the shelf. Open it. Pray to God to speak to you through it. Read it, think about it, chew it over, pray about it, talk to other people about it. One brilliant practical way is to do some daily Bible reading notes. There are ones that you get online, there are ones that you get in apps. I've actually recently decided to get a physical copy because doing ones in an app, it wasn't really working for me particularly. My phone is too busy and it's cluttered and things pop up and I can be trying to concentrate on what I want to do and do my Bible reading, but then there's always Twitter or there's always an email that comes through or there's a message that someone sends and it gets in the way. So I'm going to try this. That's what I'm going to do. And you know, honestly, I'd love you to send me a message asking how that's going, because we saw before we're called to encourage each other, aren't we? So you can encourage me. So that's God's word to each of us, to read, to treasure, to enjoy, because it should thrill us. Our society is so wrapped up in having an experience, isn't it? You know, it's almost as if it's not exciting, if it's not like a great event, if it's not a buzz, then it doesn't count. And sometimes picking the Bible up off our shelf can feel a bit dull or a bit dry, you know, no buzz. Maybe that's why so many people get put off from reading it regularly. Now, I'm just saying as I see it. And there are some dry and unexciting passages in it, aren't there? You know, is Leviticus anyone's favourite? Is it? Is it? You know, I think it's true, there are dry and unexciting passages in the Bible. Let's say it as it is. But think about it. I've known Jen, my wife, now for about 20 years. I love her and she loves me. We are as close as two people can be. But why don't you ask her after the service if she absolutely hangs on every single word that comes out of my mouth? Okay? Ask her after the service if she can remember word for word every single conversation that we have had over those years. I very much doubt that she does or can. Okay? Not every conversation with me has been an exciting and fantastic and significant life-changing experience for her. Some conversations that we have had have been, let's face it, pretty boring. Pretty mundane. I don't think she can remember every single meal that we've shared together. But we are married. And if we hadn't kept communicating regularly for the last 20 years or so, we wouldn't be together. So forget that idea that opening the Bible absolutely every single time should be a really big, buzzy, exciting encounter each and every time. Sometimes it's just simple. Sometimes it's just a reminder. Sometimes it's the normal stuff that God will be saying to you. So examine your attitude. Are you reading the Bible in order to listen to God's voice? Because he's there waiting to meet you in the pages of the Bible. Ask him to open your eyes to show you what he needs to show you. You know, let's all as a fellowship commit to reinvigorating our daily time with him. Commit to hearing him talking through the Bible and commit to talking to him through prayer. Commit to reading scripture, praying about what you've read, praying for understanding or praying for fulfillment of the Bible promises that you've read. Well, I guess if we're praying for fulfillment of Bible promises, we're much more likely to be praying in line with his will, aren't we? I'm going to do something similar in just a few minutes when I close, when I pray through some of Psalm 119. And that everyone's lives are different. But those good intentions of daily prayer and Bible readings are more likely to be sustained if they're predictable. In other words, in the same place or the same sort of time of day, with a familiar framework, a familiar combination of prayer and Bible reading and contemplation. That's why stuff like that structures it for you is useful. They're more likely to be sustained if they're frequent, in other words, daily or every couple of days, rather than maybe once a month or when you kind of get round to it. And they're more likely to be sustained when they're intentional, not out of a feeling of duty. Oh, I've got to do this. But with the purpose in mind of allowing yourself to grow in love and grow in dependence on God in daily activity. So by the grace of God and in the love of God, what practices might we all build into our lives over the coming days and weeks? So perhaps this week we can encourage each other. Perhaps after the service, you'll talk to someone here. Or if you're online, then put something into the chat. Talk to someone here and ask them maybe to hold you to account. I've just stood up and done it. It's really hard to break bad habits. It's really hard to get a good habit. But with God's grace and mercy and the encouragement of others, we can draw closer to God. We can know him more deeply, grow more like him, and be more equipped to go out into our lives and live for him. So let's just pray together. I'm going to be praying sort of based on Psalm 119. Almighty God, I thank you that your word is eternal, standing firm in the heavens. Thank you that you are faithful throughout all the generations. You established the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day. If your law had not been my delight, I would never have been saved. Father, please ensure that I never forget your commands. Oh, how I love your word. Help us to meditate on it all day long and keep your commands always with us. Help us to delight in your word. How sweet are your words to my taste. sweeter than honey to my mouth. Help us to gain understanding from your word and hate every wrong path, using your word as a lamp for our feet, a light on our path, the joy of our hearts. Father, please set our hearts on keeping your ways to the very end. And Lord, we ask this for your glory. Amen.
Just we focus upon the cross. Let's sit down, let's look upon the cross. As we look at that, it's empty. Has to be empty. For any of this to make any sense whatsoever, it has to be empty. We know Jesus went to it. We know Jesus was nailed to a cross of wood. And there died. For any of it to make sense, we know it's got to be empty because of the resurrection. Those words of that song that I've put back up, the living hope, living, the clues in the title, that it is a living hope. It's not something that we can maybe pin our hopes upon or something that we once may have seen or done, but that it's living today. And so again we say, hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Not has. Or might do. Or maybe if you're lucky. But it's the one who sets us free. Because death has lost its grip, not only on us, but on Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the resurrection. He has broken every chain, no matter what we go through. And it's often only when we look back that we see from where we've come. The storms that have been weathered, the tribulations and the trials that we've encountered, because death has lost its grip, had broken every chain. And there then is salvation in your name, Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is our living hope. He has to be. For those of you that receive, for those of you that believe then that Jesus is our living hope. That every chain is broken. Why? Because he loved us. Why? Because he willingly and gratefully went to that cross, was nailed for our transgressions, was placed upon there to wipe everything away. So that we know that there are no more tears and that there are no more sadnesses. Because all has been made well in and through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is our living hope. This is the one, therefore, that calls us to gather around his table. A reenactment, if you like, of what he did on that night that he was betrayed. We hear this story so many times, but it's not to be taken for granted. He was simply pointing out to those that he knew and those that he loved most of the death that he was going to die. But he also took advantage of that because of living at that time, as we see it, under the old covenant, to bring about and institute the new covenant. That the bread and the wine would be taken as symbols of his body and his blood broken and poured out for each and for everyone. For the forgiveness of all. And so as we gather around this table, it's not because we can or if we want to, but because we must. Jesus is the one that calls us to gather around his table for those that love him as their Lord and as their Saviour. He simply says, come, all who loves me, and partake and remember of what I have done for you. So we pray, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus willingly went to that cross. And Lord, it was upon that cross that he bore the whole weight and burden of the sin of the world from then and for what is still to come. And there took that down into the depths of death. And Lord, as we're reminded, he did away with all of it. As we're reminded through your word this morning, as you speak into our lives, you remember that no more. And from there on in, 3 days later, as we will celebrate in a few weeks' time, you then burst forth in life and resurrection and life forevermore. Because death could not hold you. The grave could not keep you. Because you are risen and alive forevermore. Lord, would you forgive us for the times that we would just take this as though it didn't matter? Would you forgive us for the times that we would say or that would do things, Lord, that would not be fitting or that would glorify you? Lord, as we come before you, as we just pour out our heart to you, would you graciously hear our prayers and our time of confession as we speak that silently to you now? So, Father God, as we confess those things that we may do, those things that may continue to trouble us, those things that we continue to fall over on, Lord, by Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Would you help us? Would you help us to change, if necessary, our lifestyle, our ways of thinking, our ways of doing, to be more focused upon you, to follow your way, a good way, a right way? To know, Lord, that all that goes before is nothing but your goodness. And surely that will follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, we thank you that we can be found at your table. We thank you that as we remember that Christ poured his life out for each and every one in the symbols of this bread and of this wine, Lord, as we partake of the body and as the blood, may we too remember that Christ died once and for all, for you and for me. Lord, may we take with thankful hearts, receive of you again, for your glory, forever and ever. Amen. David and Sue, I wonder if you would graciously serve us, please, as we receive this bread, which is gluten-free, as we receive this wine, which is juice. Please take the bread and eat it as you receive it and retain the cup, as we'll drink of a sign of our unity together afterwards. If for whatever reason you feel you cannot take or do not want to take of the bread and wine, please just allow the elements to pass you by without any fear or embarrassment. But now receive the bread and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we take of this cup, we do so remembering that Christ died once and for all. Remembering that he will not drink of this again until he drinks it afresh and anew with us in eternal glory. All praise, glory and honour to the Christ who died for one and for all. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks that we can be found at your table. Lord, we thank you that we can find your word engraven upon our hearts. Lord, we thank you that by the sacrifice of your Son Jesus Christ, we can live in holy union with you through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That perfect, triune, loving relationship to which, Lord, we can find ourselves at the very centre. Lord, we thank you that as that promise and that assurance that Jesus said, I will not leave you alone, for I will send my helper, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within each and every one of you. Lord, we thank you that we have such a wonderful guide and counsellor, one that will lead us and gain us wisdom and understanding, Lord, to know of you more as we grow in Christ and as we overflow in life through Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that we are yet again renewed and energized as we come and as we worship you, Lord. We thank you that you speak into each and every one of our lives, that, Lord, we too would go out and share the love that you first gave us with others, Lord. Lord, would you encourage us to do that? Would you enable us to go out and to see exactly who our neighbours are? And that's not necessarily who we live next door to, but who we find ourselves journeying alongside. People yet, Lord, that are to know you as their Lord and Saviour. Father God, would you encourage us? Would you give us the words at the right and opportune times to just say, hey, I just want to share Jesus with you. So Father God, would you guide us as we go from this place, from this day, the following days, weeks, months, and years ahead, Lord. Would you guide us and would you set us on those right paths? Would you guide us and would you show us those, Lord, that are in need of your word, that are in need of your loving touch, that are in need to come to know Jesus Christ? Lord, again, we thank you for this particular special day for all women, those, as we will say, as Mother's Day. I use a prayer here that Peter Gregg has wrote, and it simply says this: Lord, for mothers today, we pray joy. For orphans, comfort. For not yet mothers, hope. For single mothers, grace. For the lonely, family. May there be moments of comfort and hope today for mothers of prodigals, the mothers who've lost children, the mothers who don't know where their children are. And Lord, in this moment, we particularly think of mothers and women of Ukraine whose hearts are surely breaking. And Lord, I'm sure we can name many other countries that are torn by war and civil unrest. But may the embrace of grace display shame for mothers in prison, for mothers who feel that they may have failed, for mothers who can't be with their children. Lord, may those who never held their own child, for whom today may be sadder than it is happier, know that the love and the joy of parenting in the family of God, as for mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you and give you comfort, as it says in your word. And finally, Lord, for all those poor souls everywhere who forgot that this is Mother's Day, we ask that you would bless them. And in your abundant grace and manifold mercy, enable them, Lord, to just reach out and to be thankful for the mothers that brought them forth in this world. Lord, a gift of children can never be forgotten, can never be misunderstood or forsaken. But Lord, we thank you for the precious gift. We thank you for the precious gift of mothers, of women who are mother figures. Lord, would you bless each and everyone? Amen. Well, we'll give you thanks for joining us. Again, as Rob has said, encourage one another. Reach out to people. Ask God to lay somebody, a name, a person upon your heart this week. And then reach out to them. Bless them in the way that the Lord would bless you also. Do join us next week where we look to wrap this series up before we head into Holy Week for Easter. But for now, do take great care. Stay safe.